Always good to see smiling faces. You know, as we go through the year, and we if anyone pays attention to what Hollywood brings out on the big screen, or the kind of people they portray, especially the comic book heroes. How many know who the comic book heroes are? Everybody knows him, right? Superman, Man of Steel. It's going to be released in March, but he was created in 1933. Didn't come out until 1938, time when this country was in the Depression and the world was at war, or entering war. And so they looked for a hero, and so we got Superman came out in 1938 in the comic books. And, whoops. Oh, I keep blanking. I'm sorry. Oh, I need the other one. The other remote. Is it sideways? It's working. Yeah, they took it out. It works. Superman and with him, his strengths. He's an alien from another planet. Came in with superpowers. He was more powerful than a locomotive. Oh, they can't read that very well, can we? Able to bend steel with his bare hands, leap tall buildings with a single bound, and he was faster than a speeding bullet. That was what they said. And he got his strength from the yellow sun here of Earth. That's where he got his powers. And boy, sorry about the colors. They look good at home. His weaknesses, kryptonite, of course, that sapped him of his strength. the red sun. If there was a red sun, it would sap his strength as well. And then also, he cared about the people. He was here to protect or save. So those, I guess you could call that a weakness. And there's a lot of them out there. In fact, you have to have a scorecard to keep track of who they are and what their powers are. But I picked two, mainly because of the strength they have. This big guy, I don't know, a lot of you know, might be the Hulk. Okay? He gets his strength from his anger. He gets angry, he gets big, he gets green, he gets mean. Okay? And gets superhuman strength, makes him almost invincible. he didn't come on until the 1960s, but if you follow these things, Superman is DC and Hulk is Marvel. So if you look at them, each of them have somebody in the same realm, but the Hulk probably is the biggest and the meanest. His weakness, anger. That's his weakness. then there's my personal favorite, Super Chicken. And probably most of you don't know who he is, don't know what he did. He was a mild-mannered billionaire that when there was trouble, he'd drink super sauce and didn't quite make him quite as super as you would think, but Saturday morning cartoon. They also, Hollywood also tried to make Superman out of you know, make people strong. Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I apologize to him, I misspelled his last name. Sylvester Stallone as Rambo. You know, it's ironic about Rambo. Anybody who's ever seen Rambo, the First Blood, he was a Vietnam vet, Special Forces, came home and the world didn't accept him. Well, that was kind of the way it was about all Vietnam vets, and that's the way they felt. I, too, was a Vietnam vet. I know Ted was one. But the irony was that he skipped the country to avoid the draft. for the Vietnam War. So that's kind of irony. Anyway, Hollywood glamorized these guys, gave them roles that made them strong, and their strengths, Hollywood and the fans, boosted them up, made them who they are, and their weaknesses, no God, it was make-believe, and their fans. If the fans turned against them, they lost their popularity. But we, as children of God, can look to the Bible. A lot of us, maybe not this picture, but we know who Samson is. And his strengths came from God through his hair. And he had gave him superhuman strength, and he was a champion for Israel against the Philistines. At one time, he killed 30 people, 30 Philistines, because as a practical joke, he gave them a riddle, and they couldn't solve it except by enticing his wife, and she got the answer. And so he went and killed 30 Philistines to fulfill the promise that he would give 30 changes of clothes to whoever got the riddle right. And so the Philistines got it due to their deception, and so he did that. He killed 1,000 others with the jawbone of an ass, and Philistines in his 20-year reign as that. Weaknesses, his hair, it was vanity, and his vanity, and also the women. Okay, women was his weakness. He liked the women, and we all know the story. Delilah had her, she finally got the answer out of him where his strength came from, and she had her servant cut his hair, and the next thing you know, he was eyes were blind, taken out, and taken, led off in chains. And in his death, he killed more than in his life. He killed over 3,000 that were in the auditorium at that time, worshiping their God and giving thanks for him. And we also know about David. David was a little guy, probably a teenager, when he faced Goliath. And with him, his strength came from his faith in God. He met the giant with his strong faith, a sling, and 5 smooth stones, and he dropped him and killed him. He had weaknesses too, his lapse in faith and also the women. So this was David's weakness. This morning, though, I'd like to use my text out of 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter. We don't talk about these men as much as we do David and Samson and some of the others, Elijah, Elisha, Paul, the apostles. We don't talk about these men in 2 Samuel 23 as much. And these are the mighty men of David. He had during the time that he ran from Saul, he not only had Saul as an enemy, but he also had the Philistines chasing him as well. And so he got a elite fighting force to help him escape the clutches of Saul and the Philistines, and they became known as David's mighty men. And this man, Adino, was one of the mighty three, as I put up there. In verse 8, it says, the names of the mighty men whom David had, Joseph, Bathshebeth, a Tekoamite, chief of the captains, he was called Adino the Esnonite, because of 800 he slain by him at one time. He had a spear and killed 800 men at one time. Let's see Rambo do that. Okay, and the next was Eleazar, son of Dodo. He, along with David, fought, and they struck the Philistines until his hand cramped up, and he couldn't slay, and he couldn't drop the sword that he was carrying. So he killed them until all the Philistines were dead, and they were able to gain the victory after God. Another one is Shema, son of Agi. He stood in the midst of a pea field or a lentil field, and there he went in the middle, and he held the ground against the Philistines, and he slew them and brought a great victory for God in that battle. We don't hear too much of these guys. And then the three that went down to the cave of Adullam, where David was hurled up, the valley of the Ephraim at that time was Ephron, had the Philistines were encamped there and not too far away, Bethlehem, there was a garrison of Philistines there as well. And if we look, read the beginning in verse 13 there, it says, "Then three of the 30 chief men went down and came to David in the harvest time in the cave of Adullam, while the troop of the Philistines was camping in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold, while the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. David had a craving and said, 'Oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate.' So the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines and drew water from the well of Bethlehem, which was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord and said, 'Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of the men who went in jeopardy of their lives?' Therefore, he would not drink it. And these things the three mighty men did." These men heard David whisper that he wanted some water, and he wanted it not just from a canteen or anywhere close, he wanted it from Bethlehem. And if you look up where the cave of Adullam is, it's 13 miles west of Bethlehem. So these men just didn't go down the hill to the well and draw water and bring it back. They had to trek 13 miles. 13 miles across the valley where the Philistines were camped. So they had to fight their way through the valley to the gate of Bethlehem, draw the water, fight their way back, and then give it to David. Now, some would think that David was an ingrate because he poured it out. But he had respect for these three men and for the fact that they were willing to give up their lives to draw water and bring it back. That's quite a feat. How many would do that for someone? Seemed kind of meaningless, but it meant something to them. Their loyalty and their faith in David to make sure that he had water, had it from his source, not just from a canteen or some other place. The rest of the mighty men, as they're listed here, there's quite a few. Abishai, who was captain of the mighty men, he killed 300 with a spear. And he was not among the three, but was considered most honorable among the three. And so he was put over the captain of the army. It was also Benaiah. He killed two lion-like men from Moab. Also went down into a pit during the snow and killed a lion. And he killed a 7-foot, 6-inch Egyptian with a club. He took his club down there to meet him. Took his spear away from him and killed him with his own spear. He was more honorable than the 30, but again, he was not among the three. So what lessons can we learn from these mighty men? As we look at them and consider a few aspects of being a mighty man of valor for God. There were 37 of these mighty men in all. Now, if we consider aspects, great men of God are men of the Word of God. And up there, Joshua, the first chapter, 6 through 9, and Psalms 1, 1 through 3, we read of the the men of God are men of God's word. They're also men of prayer to God. They offer prayers and they communicate God to their sons. They raise their sons according to God's word. You know, forget who read the Ephesians this morning, that honor thy father and thy mother was the greatest commandment. Teaching our children is very important. The great men of God know the value in unity. As we see the church in the first century, all the persecution they met, they did it together and sometimes died for it. They led their women in worship of God. 2 Samuel 6, 14 through 23, and 1 Corinthians 14, 34 through 35. We see that men have a responsibility to their wives. I'm not going to read all these scriptures. They also taught their children to fear the Lord. And that's something that we have as parents, is to teach our children. I know when we raised our children, we had a Bible story every night, sang songs. We instilled in them those values. And when I visit my children, I see them doing the same thing, having Bible studies with their children every night and spending the time, taking the time, so that not only do they get these lessons and hear God's word, but they understand it. And that's a great thing to me, that my children are emulating what we did for them. Not that I've got three sons that do speak, and one that preaches full time. The other two speak pretty regularly where they worship. Great men of God also are those who serve others. We're to be servants of God, and it's not just for self, it's for others. They refuse to put anything evil before their eyes. Sometimes this is hard to do, but we as Christians, we are those of the faithful of God, must put away these things. Great men of God know that even thinking foolishly is sin. We have the scriptures to fall back on, and it is our strength that we obtain from those, and they help us to be strong in the faith. We know great men know that to tame their tongue is greatness, according to James, and we all, especially me, have to remember that and control my tongue. I speak criticisms pretty well, and sarcasms very well. My wife lets me know that. She lets me know when I'm being sarcastic. And I don't know what I'd do without her. She's not here this morning, so I can say this, because I don't want to give her a big head. I don't want her to know that I know. So what can we take away? We don't need to fantasize about superheroes. We can open our Bibles and we can read about these men of God and the faith they had and the strength that they relied on through God and through Christ. And Tyler or Taylor, do you have a song? 311. 311 is the song that was chosen. So